Spirit.
my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and he died for me, and I see his wounds, it's his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed tree.
Privilege of standing in your presence today, O God, through the work of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace that has been showered down upon us, for the power of God at work in our lives today. Thank you for your daily provision, your protection, your keeping power. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of God that are up ahead of us. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet assurance we have today that we are your children. We love you this morning. We look forward to the day when we will see you face to face. Thank you for the promise of your return, the promise of everlasting life in heaven. We bless you, Lord. We pray now, O God, that as we prepare our hearts to receive Holy Communion, you would come and remind us once again of the great price that was paid when you gave your only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross to pay the price for our forgiveness and our salvation. Help us to remember, O God, with faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of God that comes as we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are even now seated at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. That, Father God, authorizes us and invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need, to receive the help and the grace and the mercy that we need from you. You are so faithful, O God. So faithful. We love you and we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name. As we prepare to receive communion this morning, let's invite those who are serving to come at this time, please. And congregation will continue to worship the Lord as we receive the elements of communion. Please hold them until everyone has been served and we'll eat and drink together in just a few moments. But you may be seated today as you receive the elements. And let's continue to worship the Lord together this morning. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Oh,
Is anyone glad to be a Christian this morning? Yep, aren't we grateful for the work of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus today? The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. As often as you eat this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is given for you." Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this bread that is a symbol to us of the body of Jesus that was broken on the old rugged cross. Thank you for the life that you gave up, O Lord Jesus, so that we might live. You died that we might live. You endured suffering and judgment and wrath so that we might be forgiven and set free. Thank you for the life that we have in you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for this cup that is a picture of the precious blood of Jesus, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, we are eternally grateful. You are the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of being in your family today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat the bread together. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. You're declaring to everyone, "Jesus is enough. What he did is enough for my salvation." Amen. And we thank the Lord. In fact, it's more than enough for me. It's the work of Jesus is enough for the forgiveness of the whole wide world, for all who would believe and receive. Whosoever will shall be saved. And we're so grateful for that today. Can we stand together this morning? And let's sing one more time together our praise to the Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Before you're seated today, would you take a moment to welcome those around you in the name of Jesus today? God bless you.
You may be seated. Good morning, First Assembly. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And we got a few announcements that we want to share with you at this time. And the first one involves a new ministry that's going to be starting up here at our church. And we are going to have Tammy Shoot come at this time and share some information about that. Would you help me welcome Tammy as she comes?
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
So since last December, when my husband and I shared how the Lord has worked in our lives, following the murder of our son and his fiance, Pastor Deanna has been talking with me about establishing a group in our church focused solely on providing support to those who have lost a loved one. After we both did quite a bit of research, we kind of went back and forth, we decided to base the group on a well-established Christian program. So I want to let you know that First Assembly is serving as a sponsor for the Grief Share program. Grief Share is a 13-week, Christ-centered support ministry for both church members as well as for the members of our community. The sessions are based on three main pillars. There's a video, discussion, and then a participant guide. We'll address some tough topics like fear, regrets, loneliness, questions for God, resilience, and hope. We really want to provide a safe, welcoming space where people will have the opportunity to talk with one another and in part get support from people who may understand a little bit about what you're going through. Signing up is easy. Just go to the website, griefshare.org, put in your zip code, and click on the group for First Assembly. The really neat thing about this program is once you're registered, you will have access to all the videos. So if you miss a week, it's easy to catch up, or perhaps you want to go back and rewatch something and get some additional information, you can do that as well. So we'll start Tuesday, March the 19th, that's a week from this Tuesday, 5:30 in room 300. So I really just need you to help us spread the word. If you know someone who would benefit from Grief Share, there is information at the Welcome Center that you can take with you. So please pray for us as we begin this journey. And also please pray that God will touch the hearts of those who need to be here. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So if you have any questions about the program, please feel free to reach out to Pastor Deanna, Pastor Lisa, or myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. We also want to remind you of our upcoming biblical citizenship class/course that's going to actually start tonight here in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock. And we have a brief video that we want to share at this time.
Hi, I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. I'm actually in the room where the Constitution was framed and where the Declaration was created and signed. This is Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, a lot of times you ask yourself, how do I become a good citizen? What do I do to live out my freedom in this amazing nation? How do I honor those who came before me that sacrificed for me to be able to have this freedom? And as a believer, how do I live out a biblical citizenship in modern America? Well, we're going to walk through all of those questions. We got a lot of great people that are going to comment on that. And I'm going to teach you in this very room where the Constitution and the Declaration were created. I'm going to teach you the founding documents of America and the biblical worldview that was sown into our nation from the very beginning. So join us on this incredible journey, biblical citizenship in modern America.
You can sign up for that course by visiting the sign-up table that we have in the lobby today. And again, that class will begin tonight at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. One final announcement. How many know that Easter is coming up? And I was going to ask you, do you know when Easter is? But we've got it up on the screen here. It's March the 31st, if you weren't aware of that. And we want to encourage you to get out and invite all of your neighbors, your friends, your family members who do not currently have a home church. How many know that Easter is a great time to bring someone to church? And so what we've done to kind of help prepare us for that and encourage you to do that is we've got some special Easter invite cards that we've printed off. They're very sharp looking, and we have those positioned at the Welcome Center. And we just want to encourage you, maybe kind of challenge you, swing by and grab a couple of those. Take those with you and invite someone to Easter Sunday, because we believe that the Lord is going to have something special prepared for us that day. Amen? Amen. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. If you would you please stand with us as Heidi and the worship team comes to lead us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, worship team. You may be seated, everyone, and good morning again. Are you sleepy this morning? Oh, we went to bed early. I told Brenda last night, we better get to bed by, you know, a little after 8. How many of you know when you lose an hour, you need 3 hours to make it up? And so, but we are here this morning. Thank you for being here in the early service today. And we're looking today to one verse of scripture to launch us out this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 is where we're going to begin today. We'll leap off of that. I heard a preacher say one time, I have 3 points to my sermon today. Point number one, read the text. Point number two, depart from the text. And point number three, never return to the text. Well, that's sort of our purpose here this morning, our path here this morning. Some sermons are expository in nature, and some sermons are topical in nature, where you delve through the scriptures and search through the scriptures for passages of scripture that apply to a particular topic. All of those kinds of, don't be an expository preaching snob. Are you here? Until you look at the preaching of Jesus who preached topically. Are you here this morning? So we do all kinds of preaching here at First Assembly. And today we're going to launch off of one verse of scripture and move through the scriptures regarding a very important topic. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes these words, night and day we pray most earnestly. Read that out loud with me. Night and day, we pray most earnestly. That verse is going to be our launching pad for the next several Sundays. Those words written by the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote those words to the new believers at Thessalonica in Macedonia, a church way up north as far as the church world of the New Testament is concerned, a church planted by the Apostle Paul and his ministry team. Around the year 50 AD, Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians from the city of Corinth, a great city where he would plant another church. And with those words, Paul revealed one of the powerful engines that drove his life and ministry, the engine of passionate prayer. Listen to Paul's words again there. Night and day, we pray most earnestly. For the next few Sundays, we're going to be taking a look at biblical keys to praying effectively. We're titling this series Prevailing Prayer because how many of you know we want to pray in such a way that our prayers touch God? Would you say amen? Now, in general, I suppose we would say the prayer of every Christian believer reaches God, but we want to pray with confidence, amen? We want to pray in faith. We want to pray in such a way that we reach God in the areas where we need to reach him the most. And the power of earnest prayer in the life of a Christian believer is real. The Apostle James wrote that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Are you here this morning? And let me just say this as well. Faith becomes powerful because God is powerful. You could have strong faith in the wrong thing and it would accomplish you nothing. Sometimes people want to go on and on about the power of faith, but the reality is our faith is only as strong as where we place our faith. And faith is powerful, prayer is powerful because God is powerful. And prayer is powerful because God is interested and invested in us. We are his people, we are his children. That's why we hear the promise of God ring out from the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to these words. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Think about that promise. Call to me, I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. The Lord is saying, if you'll pray, I will take you beyond yourself. I'll take you beyond your setting, and I'll open up spiritual power and realities before you. The God of heaven says, if we will call to him, he will answer, and he will make things known to us that we would never have known otherwise. Spiritual realities will be open before us. So this morning we begin with a foundational kind of prayer that must be the heart cry of every true Christian, a prayer of giving yourself to God. How many here this morning, you have received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and you are a child of God this morning, born again and on your way to heaven? Say amen. What a privilege that is. I had the joy just this past, just Friday of this week, to leading someone to the Lord in a prayer of salvation to receive the grace of God and experience salvation for himself. A retired man who was not sure that he had ever made that kind of connection with God. Thank God we have the privilege of coming to God, receiving his grace, and living in his family and under his blessing. Would you say amen? So this morning we want to talk about giving ourselves to God in prayer. I believe these kinds of prayers ought to be the foundation of our prayer life. We ask God for many things as people. In fact, even those who don't necessarily walk with the Lord often pray to ask God for certain things that they desire or they need. As children of God, we recognize that more important than what we get from God is who we are in God and our relationship with God as his children. And so we want to think today for a little while about prayers that we pray to give ourselves to God and to surrender ourselves before him. And the first key to doing that is to prioritize for the Lord and to make a few statements about your relationship and your commitment to the Lord Jesus. How many of you, here you are on a time change Sunday with an hour less sleep and you're here at the early service. How many of you, you're committed to living for the Lord Jesus? Say amen. Well, prioritizing for the Lord makes some statements. First, it says, I want to live close to Jesus. I want to experience his presence and his peace. I want to know Jesus personally for myself. I don't just want religion, as the song said this morning. I want a relationship with my Savior, the Lord Jesus. I want to live close to Jesus. Secondly, that commitment says, I want to live confidently for Jesus. I want to be a person of faith and not fear. I don't want to walk around in life wondering whether I'm a child of God. I don't want to live my life afraid to tell anybody that I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to be bold. I want to be sure. I want to be confident. I want to know who I am in the Lord Jesus, and I want to live that out. Do you want to live a confident Christian life? Yeah. I want to live close to Jesus. I want to live confidently for Jesus. And the third declaration is this: I want my life to count for Jesus. As a child of God, I want to live with kingdom power and kingdom priorities. I don't want to waste my life away. Listen to me now. Many genuine Christians waste much of their lives away because they don't really do much of anything to count for the Lord Jesus. They don't witness, they don't work, they don't encourage, they don't pray, they don't do anything really that advances the work of Jesus in this world. And I'm telling you, we don't want that kind of life. We want our lives to count for Jesus. Could somebody say amen? When we stand before the Lord someday, we want to have accomplished his will for our lives. We want to have fulfilled his calling upon our lives. Listen to me. At the very least, we want to have been prayer warriors praying for the work of God around the world. Amen. Amen. And anything else and everything else the Lord calls us to do and to accomplish in life, we want to accomplish those things. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if we're going to accomplish anything meaningful for God, we will not do it in our own strength. And with our own wisdom, we will need the help of God to get it done. We will need God's provision. We will need his wisdom. We will need his encouragement. We will need the help of the Lord if we want our lives to count for Jesus. And so if we want to live close to Jesus, confident in Jesus, and if we want our lives to count for Jesus, then we're going to have to get a hold of Jesus, and we're going to have to receive from him what we need to make those things happen. That's what the prayer is about this morning. And as we prioritize for the Lord, we then have to pray and press into the Lord. Everybody say the word press. We have to pray and press into the Lord. When the Apostle Paul wrote that letter to the Thessalonians and wrote those words, there's more to that verse. We stopped in the middle of the verse. He was praying for particular things. But we know from Scripture that was Paul's pattern of praying in general. When he writes, night and day we pray to God most earnestly, he's saying we mean business when we pray to God. We pray and we press in to the Lord. We don't just pray a 2-second prayer over our food and that's the end of the praying for the day. No, we pray. We pray maybe at different times during the day. Different people have different patterns. We're not going to be legalistic today, but different people have different times of the day they give to the Lord in prayer. People have different customs for their praying, but the reality is, as Christian believers, we're praying without ceasing. We're praying through the day, we're praying in the day, we're staying in touch with the Lord, and we're pressing in to the Lord. This morning, as we think about doing that, and as we think about giving ourselves to God in prayer, there are 7 simple little prayers that I believe we should be praying on a regular basis in our Christian lives. And they are these. Look at them, and we won't keep you all day, but we might keep you all morning. Number one is the prayer, show me, Lord. Everybody say that with me. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Well, what do we want the Lord to show us? Well, show me, Lord, who you are and what you want and what you do. Who are you, Lord? Make yourself known to me. Show yourself to me, Lord. Now, I remind you now, as I've always reminded you, that prayer is always informed and empowered by the Scriptures. When the Lord shows you who he is, it's going to be affirmed and confirmed by the Scriptures. And informed by that. And he very well will do the work of showing through the power of the Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit. But we want the Lord to show himself to us in a real and relational way. Think about some of the prayers and experiences of God's people in Scripture. Exodus 33, Moses said to the Lord, now show me your what? Show me your glory, O God. Who doesn't want to see the glory of God? Who wouldn't want to see a miracle? Who wouldn't want to see something awesome and amazing? And so Moses said, show me your glory, Lord. But listen how the Lord responded to him. The Lord said to Moses, I will cause my what? My goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. When Moses said, show me your glory, God said, I'll show you my goodness. Now, how many of you know those two things are wrapped up inseparably when it comes to God? He is a God of glorious goodness. Amen? That's why we sing about amazing grace. He's a God of glory and a God of goodness. Show me those things, Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord said that in the prophet Isaiah said in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah received a vision from the Lord, and the Lord was high and lifted up, holy and exalted. So we see that he's glorious, he's good, he's exalted and lifted up. We see in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha had been confronted by an enemy army. His servant was afraid, And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open the servant's eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So the scripture declares that when our eyes are opened spiritually, we often see things in the spiritual realm that we would not see without the revelation of God. How many of you can believe that there may be angels in this place right this moment? Certainly the Holy Spirit's presence is here in this room today. We can't see the Holy Spirit and say, "There's the Holy Spirit sitting by the communion table," but the Holy Spirit is here today. Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. There may be angels all around this place today. We don't know exactly about some of those things. But when our spiritual eyes are open, when the Lord shows us things, we become aware of things that we were not aware of otherwise. Do you understand that? Again, that word from Jeremiah the prophet, "If you'll call to me, I'll answer you and I'll tell you things that you don't even know about. I'll make things known to you." And the Lord did that for Elisha and his servant. John the apostle was on the island of Patmos on the Lord's day, and verse 10 of Revelation chapter 1 says, "On the Lord's day I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and there before him," John saw a vision of the exalted Jesus. So some in scripture saw visions where their eyes were open. They saw into the spiritual realms. We may see that as well. Sometimes, let me tell you, when the Lord reveals things to us, we may not see it as if it's a vision, but we will see it in our spirit. We will realize things in our spirit that we need to realize. How many of you know when you're going through a great struggle or a great battle, you need to be able to realize in your, not just in your mind, but you need to realize in your spirit that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How many of you know sometimes we really need an affirmation from God? And the Lord does that as we draw close to him. We pray, "Show me, Lord. Show me who you are, what you want, and what you do." There's a second part of that show me prayer. After all, we're in the show me state. Amen. There's a second part of that show me prayer that we pray to the Lord. "Lord, show me who I am and where I am. And what I need." We hear some of the answers to that in the scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. "You receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's" what? We're God's children. So when we pray, "Lord, show me who I am," one of the most foundational things that the Lord will show us and affirm to us and assure us of is that we are his children. Could I have a hallelujah in the house? So when we say, "Lord, show me who I am," we already know it in faith, but Romans chapter 8 says the Holy Spirit who lives in us will show that to us and bear witness within us that we are God's children. So even when you've fallen and failed, when you come to God and call out to him, the Lord will reveal to you, "You're my child, and I will forgive you, I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will bless you." So the Lord shows us that we are God's children. That goes further. Psalm 139, the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So the hope, when we pray, "Show me, Lord, who I am and where I am and what I need," the Holy Spirit certainly will show us, "You're a child of God." And then he may also show us, "And here's where you need to make some changes in your life. Here are some things that need to be pointed out." The Lord will show us those things in love, in grace, but in truth. How many of you know it does no good to lie to yourself about your spiritual life? about your walk with God, about what you need, where you need to do and what the next steps are. It does no good to lie to yourself. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us, loved as children and sometimes in need of change and correction. Psalm 25, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you. So as we pray to the Lord, show me who you are, show me who I am, so that we can get our relationship, Father God, and Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, so that we can get our relationship in just the right place, where there's nothing between, nothing hindering, nothing standing in the way. Show me, Lord. Look at some additional prayers that we pray as we give ourselves to the Lord. A second prayer, cleanse me, Lord. Psalm 51, David, after he had sinned, prayed to the Lord and said, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Later in the psalm, David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. And then 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we pray, show me, Lord, what I need to know about you and about myself, we often pray, cleanse me, Lord, from all of those things that are displeasing to you. How many of you believe with me today that we ought to keep any list of transgressions against the Lord as, listen, not only as short as possible, but we need to keep the list clean and clear by confession before the Lord and turning away from those things. Show me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. A third prayer is change me, Lord. You say, I can tell already I don't want to pray these prayers. No, these are good. How many of you know the Lord wants the very best for you? Say amen. Here's a third prayer. Change me, Lord. This is the prayer of surrender. As God's children, it's incumbent upon us to be changeable, right? To be teachable, correctable. To be moldable, we must humble ourselves and say, Lord, we want to be the people you want us to be. So in those areas where I need to change, change me, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says that God has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And 2 Corinthians 3 says we are being transformed into his likeness. So the change that is taking place is a change that is changing us to be more like Jesus. Everybody say, more like Jesus. That's the goal of this prayer. Lord, make me more like Jesus. Will we have to continue to change if we're going to? None of us are exactly like Jesus yet. So this change process is a lifelong spiritual process of growing to be more like Jesus. I think of it as tuning to a radio station with the old-fashioned radio dials, okay? If you remember, you sort of tune it in with the big dial, and none of you are old enough to remember this, I guess. You tune it in close with the big dial, and then there's a little dial called the fine-tuning, right? And it just sort of provides little increments along the way. Some of us, we've already been changed a lot by the big dial, but we have fine-tuning changes to be made. And I don't know one Christian anywhere who couldn't stand a little fine-tuning. How about you? Yeah, and those of you who didn't say amen to that, you especially, you need the big dial. Show me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Change me, Lord. A fourth prayer, fill me, Lord. Fill my life with the things that I need. Think about the words of fullness in the scripture. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. In speaking of the apostles in the early church, said they were full of the Spirit and wisdom. And full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, full of God's grace and power. Just think about the fullness in those areas. Think about those qualities. Full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, faith, God's grace, God's power. How many of you know if we were full of those things, it would radically transform our lives? Many of us are filled with those kinds of things. Hallelujah. But we need a continual overflow. Could you say amen? Fill me, Lord, with these things. Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about these qualities again. Wisdom, faith, grace, power, peace, joy, hope, the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's a powerful filling right there. And we need those things in abundant measure. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Let me ask you today, what spiritual qualities do you want in your life? Let me ask you, is there anybody here, don't raise your hand, is there anybody here, you pray to be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis? Oh, yeah, I do. We pray that God would fill us with his Spirit and with these qualities that transform our lives. Fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us. Listen, as Dr. Denbo preached this week, as we empty ourselves of the things that are displeasing to God, we fill ourselves and clothe ourselves with those things that are pleasing to God and powerful in God. And listen, we don't want to be Christians who just sort of meander through life with sort of a melancholy attitude. We want to be strong, vibrant, joyful Christian believers who are living in the victory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Lord, fill me. A fifth prayer, lead me, Lord. The promise of God is that the Holy Spirit will lead us. John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come. Isaiah 30 says, whether you turn to the right or left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Hear me now. I believe we ought to pray for God's leading on a daily basis, that God would lead us throughout the day. And I also believe that we should pray for the leading of the Lord situationally. Okay, so not only are we praying to start the day, to give the day to the Lord, Lord, lead me throughout this day. Lead me, guide my path, help me to make right decisions, help me to sense your leading. Not only that, but when we have a decision right in front of us to make, we can pray right in that situation. When we have something that is large and looming before us, we give it to the Lord and pray, God, I don't want to make this decision until I sense that this is your will for my life. Right? You know, the Old Testament Israelites made a treaty with a group of people, the Gibeonites, and ultimately they made the wrong decision. And the scripture says they made the wrong decision because they did not seek the Lord about it. Is there anybody here who's ever made a wrong decision because you did not seek the Lord? I bet there are. The reality is we need to be asking the Lord for his direction. We need to give every situation to the Lord. And listen, in a world where oftentimes our fleshly, worldly desires, even though they're not necessarily particularly sinful, sometimes our fleshly desires are what dominate our decision-making when it's the leading of the Lord that should dominate our decision-making, where we ought at least be able to get the peace of God about it. Lead me, Lord. A sixth prayer is this, use me, Lord. As we give ourselves to the Lord, we become instruments for God's purposes. We surrender ourselves and we pray for opportunities and for open doors for God to use us for his purposes. Listen to the scripture, 2 Timothy 2. If a man cleanses himself, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Look, are you prepared to do any good work that the Lord wants you to do? That's the goal, to be an instrument in the hands of God. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Colossians 1:10, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing. And 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Are we out and about doing the business of God on a regular basis? Well, as we pray, use me, Lord, we're surrendering ourselves to the Lord for that purpose. We're not only doing that, but as we'll talk about in just a moment, to conclude the message, as we pray, use me, Lord, and we mean it, then we'll become aware more and more of the opportunities God gives us to be used by him. All right? If we say, Lord, give me opportunities to be a blessing, then certainly we need to keep our eyes open for those opportunities, right? Use me, Lord. Make me a blessing. Too many people's prayer lives are consumed with the prayer, bless me, Lord. And too few of God's people are praying, make me a blessing, Lord. I have found in life that when I can be a blessing to someone else, that's one of the greatest blessings I can experience. Have you ever heard this expression? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever heard that wasn't Plato? That wasn't Aristotle. Are you here? It is more blessed to give than to receive. That wasn't Confucius. That was the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when we allow ourselves to be used by the Lord, that's one of the greatest blessings in life. You're right? Use me, Lord. And a seventh prayer, we could go on and on. You could write your own prayers in this category. A seventh consideration, speak to me, Lord. Speak into my spirit. Again, the Lord's voice speaking in agreement with the word of God, reminding us, affirming us, assuring us, and focusing us. Hear the prayers of Scripture. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wonderful things in your law. Listen, when you read your Bible, and I know many of you are Bible readers, when you read your Bible, do you pray, God, thank you for your word today. Open up my heart to receive from your word today. Do you pray over your Bible reading? Do you pray over those things? The Lord can speak powerfully to us throughout the day as we read his word and as we're reminded of his word. Psalm 119, let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. And Jesus said in John 14, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Listen to me. I believe the Lord is able and willing to speak to us all day long. Are you here? I believe the Lord is able and willing to speak to us all day long. But listen, we have to remain close to him. Amen? We have to remain conscious of him, right? We have to keep our hearts closely connected to him. And I believe as we do that, as we're aware of him, I believe the word of God, songs of praise and worship, assurances from the Holy Spirit. I believe those kinds of things can be coming to us all day long. Those things are not just accidents. And listen to me, those are not just a result of being religious and around religious things. Those interactions between us and the Lord are the constant flow of communication from the Lord to his children that becomes so powerful in enlivening us for a life in Jesus Christ. Are you here? I want to hear from the Lord all day long, don't you? I want the Lord to speak to me all day long. It may not be any mysterious revelation, but it will certainly be the word of the Lord that brings encouragement and strength and help and protection and guidance and guarding from even warnings from the Lord. I want to sense a warning in my spirit if there's some place in life that I need to be warned, don't you? And I believe the Lord wants to do that and is willing to do that as we remain close to him, as we pray and press into the Lord. Hear me. The Lord wants relationship with us a whole lot more than we ever wanted relationship with him. Do you remember today? He started the process, right? We didn't go after him first. He went after us first. He wants that relationship with us. And listen, we are people of the Spirit. We believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Could I have an amen? We believe the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. Could you say amen? And working in the lives of his people. And so why would we not be aware of this regular communication between us and the Lord all through the day? So as we pray and press into the Lord, we will prosper and prevail with the Lord. And I'm talking today particularly about spiritual prosperity, spiritual life and power. And three things will be the result of these kinds of foundational prayers of surrender and drawing close to God. One, spiritual sensitivity will come. Here's the bottom line. As we pray, as we pray, speak to me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. As we pray those things on a regular basis, we will become increasingly aware of the spiritual activity that's taking place around us at any given time. We will know. Are you here? We will become keenly aware the Lord is with me. Huh? We will become keenly aware God is working. We will become very much aware God just opened that door for me. God just blessed me with that. Are you here? We'll stop chalking up the credit to everybody and everything else, and we'll start worshiping and thanking God for being so good and so involved in our lives. We'll become spiritually sensitive to what God is doing. And I want that. Oh, man, I love that. I love when we sense the working of God and the presence of God all around us. Spiritual sensitivity will come. Secondly, supernatural strength and supply will come. As God strengthens us and provides for us. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, who hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. Just as a result of being in the presence of the Lord and trusting him, strength will come. And thirdly, spiritual strategies will come. As the Lord guides us and directs us and shows us and uses us, as we live and function as his people, we'll sense that God is directing our paths. After all, we love to quote it from the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In what? Well, what's that word, that three-letter word? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. As we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, show me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. As we give ourselves to the Lord in that fashion, we will be trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts and acknowledging him in all of our ways. And we will sense that he is making our paths straight before us. That we are walking in his presence, in his purpose, in his plan. And it'll be a good life living for the Lord. Amen.